We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Seth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Aaron, your view of this, you know, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump?
there really isn't. And, you know, when I would say it's really a diet of this type of information that a lot of these voters are getting. A lot of the voters that I talk to, I can, you know, when I interview them, I do hear them saying a lot of the talking points that sound very familiar from some of these shows, which I try to listen to when I'm out on the campaign trail or when I'm at home, you know, watching TV. You know, you can hear these comments being echoed by voters. And you know that this is the diet that they're on, AM radio, conservative talk. Also social media. I mean, the Trump campaign is running a full-blown campaign on social media that is completely off the radar for a lot of regular media.
Brian Stelter, are you freaking kidding me? No. When I saw the headline, I was like, that's not even possibly true.
Most clueless man in the world.
What is it like to be?
Aaron, your view of this, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden. Is there an equivalent to that on the left?
Oh my gosh! What's it like to be that self-unaware? Like, what kind of blissful ignorance is your reality? I would love to join you.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you got a talking to from people at the network. Like, hey man, that's our whole entire MO.
You in on a little secret. Kind of making us look foolish.
Yes.
I mean, or is it just is he completely aware and he's just saying it because it's so obviously true that they can say that? You know, Trump does stuff like that all the time. He gets under the people's skin. He says things that he knows are going to, like when he talks about when he runs for his next reelection, not this one, but the next one, or how he's going to, you know, what is this thing about him being on Mount Rushmore?
What is that?
I think it's totally plausible that they decide to plan this at Mount Rushmore, and Trump looks at someone with a twinkle in his eye and goes, think we could get me up on that Mount Rushmore? And then Brian Stelter's like, Donald Trump carves his face into Mount Rushmore!
Yeah, he's...
It's unbelievable! It shouldn't be! It should be predictable! We should go, oh yeah, of course. But I don't know how to argue with them.
What makes me more mad listening to that sound was that the answer to the question was it really isn't, or there aren't, or something like that. So the person that answered that question is like, yeah, no, there's no network like that exists.
Well, nobody who's watching Brian Stelter is going to disagree with him.
Golly.
If you want to watch people debate issues from both sides of the aisle, you have to watch Fox. I think that Rick Santorum is on CNN, maybe, was. But I don't see him with any regularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rick Santorum is a, I know what he was like in 2016, and I thought he was a decent representation of conservative values. But, you know, they have like, I think they've taken it away within the last year or two, but they put Anna Navarro up there and they're like, Republican strategist. And I'm like, in what universe?
Yeah,
I am not tuning in here and going, oh, it's Anna Navarro and Don Lemon. I'm glad I got somebody on my side. Stop it. Oh, my gosh. I don't understand. It's impossible. Sad. It makes me mad. I'm sad that Corey hung up. He had a sugar-free gummy bear story.
And we wanted to hear all about it.
Raise your hand if you knew that sugar-free gummy bears were a solution to digestive congestion.
That is a very PC way of putting it, and I love it.
Yeah, it is. Here's another thing that's going on. This is the world we're living in. We are in the upside down. Larry the Cable Guy is on Twitter speaking his mind, and I guess he's getting some hate for it, but he's basically trying to tell people in his own way to maybe be, let's see, I'm just going to read his first tweet here. I want to make sure I get his words right. Since 1984 through world wars, national tragedies, every pandemic, in the Great Depression, college football was there to uplift the American psyche. Americans were proud and always kept the country moving forward. This virus has a 99.9% recovery. This is also unnecessary. And then there was trouble. That's what my dad always says. I don't know why. So then he retweets, psychologists across the spectrum say no school or school activities will have a devastating effect on America's kids. If your local leaders are canceling these things, and the child suicide rate triples this fall, they should be held accountable. Average COVID fatality is 78 years old. Then he follows up, no one's discounting COVID deaths. Stop saying people don't care about them. People do. It's horrible. 60 to 80,000 die from the flu, and these same people somehow never said a word. The media didn't even cover them. Epidemiologists say we know now who is vulnerable, and it's not kids. And then he said, I honestly don't want to tweet my thoughts because it's obviously futile, but our country is being destroyed and sitting on the fence just doesn't seem right. And if voicing your opinion in America causes you to be scared and fearful, then it's not America anyway.
Yeah.
So while we can discuss the merits of him saying yes or no, that we should go back, that college football should happen, I thought that last tweet was the most interesting. That if you believe along the lines, generally speaking, of what I believe and articulate on a daily basis here, you're not free to share that thought and opinion in the world anywhere without the likely consequence being an attack, not a disagreement, an actual attack. So what do? You keep quiet. But Larry the Cable Guy, the wise man that he is, and the truth is that there is a lot of wisdom in his comedy. He just says it kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if voicing your opinion in America causes you to be scared and fearful, then it's not America anyway. That is so freaking true. And I've been saying for quite some time back, you know, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, where we were talking about the presence of the MAGA hat or the identity of some sort of Trump relationship, whether it's a bumper sticker or a bag or a pin or a hat or a t-shirt, that the presence of that indicates something about you that is likely so very far from the truth. The ists that you become or the isms that you subscribe to when you wear a Trump hat. It doesn't even have to be the red MAGA hat. It could just say Trump. It could be blue. It could be white. It could be black. It could be whatever color you wanted it to be. But the very admittance of any kind of support for Donald Trump, who is, in fact, the president of the United States, 45, he is the president, that you are just going to be subject to these kind of attacks is ridiculously un-American. You know, of course people can disagree. Of course people can say he is the worst president that we've ever had. Of course people can say that I think that we should provide health care for everybody. And I think we should make sure that no child ever has to pay a penny to get an education in this country. Those are all things that you can say. But I have the right as well to say that's not how I think we should do it in this country. I don't think that healthcare is a fundamental right. I do think it's something that we can help people with when it comes to the helpless. But I don't think that we should set these parameters that you go to the government to get provisions that you could work for yourself. And I'm allowed to, as an American, just as you are allowed to, as an American, have a differing opinion on that. And if you are frightened, if you are scared, if you are bullied into keeping your mouth shut on these things, then they've already won. And they've won because you stepped away from the battle line, not because you lost the battle. You gave up. So I appreciate Larry the Cable Guy. His real name is Dan. I don't know what his last name is.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. And he doesn't talk like that at all. Have you ever heard him not talk like Larry the Cable Guy?
No, I haven't. That's
see,
crazy.
Like a golf polo and talking like a normal. I say that now. I've offended people. I'm sorry if you talk like Larry the Cable Guy. I'm related to people
shtick.
Who kind of talk like that. Yeah, this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you are somebody who hears what he has to say and agrees with him, then it's time to speak up in your capacity with kindness. The real kind of kindness, not the Ellen DeGeneres kind of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story for a different day. And make sure that people understand that there are more people. You don't have to co-sign every single thing that Donald Trump has ever done. I sure as heck don't. I think the president has made a lot of mistakes leading into his presidency, and I think he's stuck his foot in his mouth from time to time, but show me somebody in politics who hasn't. He doesn't get to fight a fair fight, Brian Stelter. You just don't understand that you were part of the problem. We don't pursue facts. We don't pursue truth. We pursue angles and agendas, and we are all fighting in a battle to win a political point. And when you don't have an honest media who's willing to provide the truth to the American people for them to decide, because they don't trust you to be smart enough to come to their conclusion at the end of that truth, they need to formulate it for you. And then they, Brian Stelter and his guests, get to live in a reality where they actually think that there is an entire bit of media that is only present to try to destroy Joe Biden. That is the entire purpose of it. And they have the audacity to say, I mean, is there anything like that on the opposite side? I mean, you're like, this is not real life. Pinch me, slap me in the face, wake me up. This nightmare's getting too weird. Had too many beans for breakfast, or maybe some Haribo gummy bears, sugar-free gummy bears. It isn't right. Something in the universe is off. And yet again, we see example of it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Speaking of things being ridiculously off, I'm going to play again when we come back that clip of that reporter saying to Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, like, previously, there's obviously been no consequences for people who are exhibiting the kind of behavior that was exhibited last night on the Magnificent Mile in Chicago. Violence, gunfire, craziness, disorder all over the city of Chicago last night. And the mayor was like, oh, how dare you suggest that? I'm here to make sure that people have their safety. I'm, and there have to be consequences. We need to bring people to justice. And it's like, is this real life? Are you in the Brian Stelter weirdiverse? Because I don't speak this language. Jeannie Ives, who is running for the United States Congress seat to take a blue seat and flip it red, is going to react to this when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I don't want to do a job for you, but just go by what's been done. There were no consequences for the
Craig,
people arrested.
Craig, let's be clear. I mean, don't bait us, okay? Do not bait us. This is a serious situation. People are concerned about their safety. Officers are concerned about their safety. So don't bait us. What we're saying is, as a result of what happened last night, there have to be consequences. We've got teams of people that are aggressively out there identifying the people responsible, looking at the plates, and we're going to bring them to justice. But when we do, and we do make those arrests, our expectation is that this is going to be treated with the level of seriousness that it should be, period. Don't try to bait us, mischaracterize, pit one against the other. We're not playing that.
Yeah, Mayor Lightfoot, I'm pretty sure that the people of Chicago, the tax-paying citizens of Chicago, are the ones who feel baited right now. I'm pretty sure that when you answer the question from that reporter who says that there have been no consequences for people who have been arrested, there is historical factual data that can back up that statement. And her only response is, how dare you? Give me a break. We're not that stupid. I know that Illinois continues to elect Democrats like Mayor Lori Lightfoot or like Governor Pritzker or like Mike Madigan in office. I could look at the voters and go, well, that was pretty dumb. Why do we keep doing this? But we're not this stupid, and our eyes are wide open. I just saw a video on Twitter of all of the bridges in Chicago were up to stop people from getting in. That probably stops people from being able to get out as well, if basic science serves me well. What in the world is going on in the city of Chicago, and what kind of impact is this destruction, like the actual destruction that is taking place at these stores, the downtime they're going to have, the amount of commerce that is supposed to be taking place downtown? First of all, there's going to be an amount of time that they're not going to be able to shop there. And second of all, who's going to feel safe? Who's going to feel safe in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's city of Chicago? Well, Jeannie Ives is here to answer some of these questions for me. She is a former Illinois state representative who I have supported very much over the course of her time as state rep, as she primaried Bruce Rauner and almost beat him, and is running now for Congress to flip a blue seat to red. Jeannie, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, Annie. I'm delighted to speak with the people down in the southern part of the state.
Well, we're really hoping for Jeannie Ives' victory here to give one more seat to a hopeful Trump White House for another 4 years and take a seat away from Nancy Pelosi. But you've been watching what's going on in the city of Chicago. And, you know, you were pretty close to being able to challenge, very, very close, challenge J.B. Pritzker for the governorship. We've seen Mayor Lori Lightfoot rebuff Donald Trump's offer for federal assistance to get Chicago in order, and she acted like she had it under control. Sure didn't look under control last night.
No, look, she was supposed to be the law and order woman. She was supposed to be the former federal prosecutor who was going to set things straight and make sure that both Chicago Police Department played by the rules, but also everybody else played by the rules. And her tenure so far has been a complete disaster when it comes from the law to the lawlessness down here. And it's really funny because today I opened up my Chicago Tribune. Actually, I didn't even have to open it up. Front page, top of the fold, biggest article was that under Kim Fox's tenure, over 30% of felony arrests have been dropped. 30%. This is record breaking. So they're not prosecuting the crime even when it comes into place. They're not even going in any further into investigating. They're just dropping these charges. And both Mayor Lightfoot is letting this go on. Kim Fox openly said, look, rioters, looters, they're just letting them blanketly off. What are you going to get more of when you don't adjudicate it? You're going to get more of that. And this has been going on constantly from the end of May until now, and there's no let up at all. It is very dangerous in the city of Chicago. It is on beautiful summer nights when the streets should be full of people, packed, it is completely deserted. It's depressing, quite frankly.
You know, the way you talk about Kim Fox there in Chicago, here in St. Louis, we have Kim Gardner, who has, we had a night of protests that turned into rioting a few months back. It ended the life of retired Captain Dorn. And Kim Gardner, she let all those people go as well. So when this reporter asks Mayor Lori Lightfoot if they're going to, you know, there haven't been consequences before, I think in a lot of ways, Mayor Lightfoot and Kim Fox also as well are responsible for emboldening these people to create this type of situation where nobody's going to want to go downtown Chicago to spend money anymore. Why would they want to go there? Why would they feel safe?
Why would we expect anything different from the Democrat politicians in the state, though? I mean, if it's not literal lawlessness on the streets of Chicago, it is lawlessness in Springfield under Mike Madigan. I mean, the whole corruption scandals that have broken out over the last year, the fact that he is won't come clean on his participation in this, the fact that he won't step down. Look, when you see your leaders get away with corruption, why don't you try it too? I mean, literally, it is complete lawlessness. And we say, really, in this election, are you going to accept, do you want law and order or do you want mob rule? And mob rule isn't just on the street mobs, it's in the halls of political activity mobs. That's what's happening in the state of Illinois.
Let me ask you about J.B. Pritzker, the governor of the state, who is frustrating on a daily basis for me specifically in southern Illinois. But he's got some questions that I think he needs to answer too in his connections with Mike Madigan. We know that there are Pritzker hires that were Madigan influenced. At least that's what we've been told. Madigan is proven to be a part of this corruption circle, which everybody has known about for a long time. There's just been some actual paper put to it here recently. But in your opinion, having served in the legislature with Mike Madigan, having been just a few votes shy of being able to challenge J.B. Pritzker yourself, what kind of hope does the Illinois voter have right now, maybe being a step closer to actually calling out this corruption and making a change here in the state of Illinois based on the most recent events?
Well, this is the closest, certainly, that we've come to seeing it all unravel for Mike Madigan. I don't know that he's ever been named as public official A in official documents to which a major corporation who is quasi-public-private has had to pay a $200 million fine and work with federal investigators for the next 3 years. So certainly this is as close as he's come. I personally think that they would not have gone this far did they not have more on him. I hope that pans out. Regardless, the man should step down. Certainly, there's been lesser folks under this type of scrutiny that have resigned their positions. And Mike Madigan should say, hey, the game's up, I'm gone. But he won't. He holds on to power. And here's what's worse. Both the private unions and the public sector unions are pulling up. Literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash are flowing into Mike Madigan's campaign coffers right now to help pay off his lawyers as they try to defend him and keep their grip on power. Now, that is something, if you are a union worker, you should think about. This is what your union leadership is doing. I am not blaming the individual union members. I am saying your union is contributing hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep Mike Madigan in power. What does that say about you? What does that say about what your are you a willing participant to this type of corruption?
Yeah. I want to give you an opportunity to go even further on that and to separate, as you just did there, the union members from the actual union, because I think that there is a huge opportunity right now simply based on the tax burden that anybody who is in the state of Illinois, if they're going to raise taxes and to try to completely protect the pensions, the unsustainable pension system that we have in the state of Illinois, they're going to have to raise taxes on those public workers too in order to fund that. And it seems as though there isn't going to be an amount of taxes that can be raised to get us out of the trouble that we've dug ourselves into. Do you think that there is a possibility that there are going to be some votes casted maybe against the progressive income tax and hopefully on the same ballot as a vote cast for Donald Trump and a vote cast for Jeannie Ives over Sean Casson to turn that seat from blue to red, of people who may not have voted Republican before, but they see that it is in their own financial interest to maybe go against that union and actually do so this November?
Well, I will say I am very heartened by the conversations I've had out on the campaign trail by literal Democrats saying I am voting Republican. I've had enough of it. This is the last straw. And I do care about my tax situation, and it's getting worse in the state of Illinois. I do. The lawlessness bothers me tremendously. What's more, in the suburbs, there's quite a few people that are concerned about federal zoning laws coming in and upending these communities that they have invested their lives in. And so there's a lot of people that are concerned, and they hopefully will vote differently. I also hope that this whole idea that, we're going to keep schools closed and kids are going to have to learn remotely. I think honestly, there's a lot of teachers who would prefer to be back in the classroom. Certainly the suburban teachers would prefer that. I know the coaches want to be back coaching their teams. Yet the Illinois Education Association, has basically said, if you don't pony up $180 billion coming from the federal government to schools nationwide, if you don't show us the money, so to speak, we are not on board for opening up our schools. Now, this is an outrageous demand for them to make when schools are taken care of and funded locally. Fortunately, these local school districts are doing differentiated types of services. So we're going to find out very quickly, aren't we, whether or not schools can open safely or they're not, because you do have a variety of situations going on across the state.
I want to ask you one last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Jeannie Ives, who is a former Illinois state representative, very successfully so, and is now running for Congress. What are your thoughts right now on the mood of the Illinois voters potentially in your district, but also of Nancy Pelosi's Congress as it is currently comprised? Do you, when you're talking to your constituents, your potential constituents, what's the vibe that you're getting?
I think that right now folks are mainly concerned with their job, and they're concerned about COVID. There's real concern about COVID, but they're really concerned about their children and their children's future. Will their children be able to get a job? You've got many coming out of right out of college who were offered jobs, and now those jobs are not there. You've got folks that are trying to figure out how do they do e-learning when they both have to work. I think that a lot of times politics comes down to the local situation, so they're not thinking about Nancy Pelosi per se. But they don't, and they don't know who to blame. But literally, Nancy Pelosi has been a block to so many other good things that could have happened over the last two years. All they did was try to really, you know, go after the president, go after his policies, never a willing partner, trying to extract more and more dollars from the taxpayer for just goofy ideas like the Green New Deal and Medicare for All. And so they're the do-nothing Congress. But I honestly don't. I think most people feel it comes down to economics. And people care about their job because a lot of times their job also is their path to affordable health insurance. And so these are core concerns. And Nancy Pelosi has not made that situation better. She's made it worse. And so has every one of their congressmen. They refuse to condemn the defund the police movement. They have put in bills saying that taxpayers should fund congressional campaigns up to $5 million. I mean, they have lots of ways they want to spend other people's money. And that's the takeaway from Nancy Pelosi's tenure for the last 2 years. It's been a disaster.
Jeannie, if people want to support you, I know here in the state of Illinois, we've got some very important Southern Illinois state representative seats right here in the Metro East. And I'm encouraging anybody across the state, if you want to get some of those seats out of the super minority, I encourage people to support those down here. But if we want to support you because a red seat gain anywhere is going to help all of us, where do you encourage
That's
people
right.
to go?
Look, vote against Sean Casten. Support Jeannie Ives. Go to jeannieforcongress.com. We would love it. I am getting donations from across the nation, every single state, because people know this is a fight to take Pelosi out of office. She's been a disaster, pandering to the most extreme elements of her party. Sean Casten, who I'm running against, has a more extreme voting record than even AOC. He is a one-trick pony on climate change, and, you know, he has voted for every crony deal and out there. And, you know, he just needs to be taken out of office because otherwise people across the nation will be impacted by his votes up in Congress.
Well, Jeannie, I always encourage people, if you got $9.71 to donate to these campaigns, then you know it came from us. So I want to send all those $9.71. And I always say I'm not in charge of the decimal place. So if you want to move the decimal, that's on you. Jeannie, always great to talk to you. We'll get you back on here again before November happens. But I look forward to celebrating with you on November 3rd.
Terrific. Thank you, Annie. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much. At Jeannie Ives on Twitter, go check out her website. She is just a ball of fire and I would say a liberal's worst nightmare. And that's why it's just fun to watch. Gosh, she was so close. I will never get over it. No, I will not. I can't.
So close.
So I'm waiting to see her success here in November. Okay, we've been waiting all show for this. Corey, is he on the line?
He is. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We learned the tale of the sugar-free gummy bear. I don't know why I learned that tale, but apparently it is a storied situation. Do you know about sugar-free gummy bears? Apparently, it's a gift that people may give from time to time and maybe not explain that they are sugar-free gummy bears. And There's a bit of a revolt that follows shortly after. Corey is going to tell us his story in a very FCC PG appropriate way when
Please.
We return. Please don't change the channel. That's the way to make you stay. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for choosing us today. I really appreciate you and any amount of time that you can spend with us. I am grateful for. We talked a little bit earlier in the show. This spawned out of I have purchased this weekend 8 Christmas gifts. To shame all of you who haven't started yet. As if it's normal to have started already. Katie, how many Christmas gifts have you purchased?
You know I'm already not even wanting to think about Christmas. No.
There was a huge sale. Like, the Shop Disney website was 30% off and free shipping, and it's still happening. So if you are looking to save boatloads of money on gifts for kiddos and stuff like that, then this is the time to do it. So a box will come. We won't open it. We'll stick it in a closet. God willing, we remember that we purchased it come December. Ryan Wiggins isn't here today because he's on vacation today and tomorrow. And I said, we should discuss what I should get Ryan for Christmas. And I said, this is difficult because last year I got him a whole bunch of candy and he's doing a sugar-free thing right now. I don't know if he'll still be doing it in December, but I don't know that giving him a 6-foot-long Twix bar is really the most sensitive thing to do. So we started discussing sugar-free gummy bears because gummy bears are his favorite thing. And sugar-free would be kind and thoughtful of
yes.
him. And then we discovered that there is a thing with sugar-free gummy bears that we didn't know exist. And Corey has been holding on the line. Now, Corey, when I put you on here, remember, there are kids listening. So I need you to be sensitive in your personal experience here. But I've been waiting all show. I know we've talked to some important people today, but this is why.
This was the phone call.
This is why I got through today's show. Corey, what's your story?
All right. Hey, my father taught Bowtech for almost 20 years, and just a few years ago, somebody had given a gift of sugar-free gummy bears to him, and he didn't set well with them, and he didn't care for them, just didn't like the taste after trying a couple of them, so he set them aside at his desk. So he taught automotive tech with a bunch of high school boys, and they would always have class time, and so you can imagine kids are all just hand-fisting a giant, like, 2-pound bag of gummy bears sitting in a high school classroom. And it didn't take but a few minutes. And
minutes?
The amount of gas building up inside the room was enough that you'd have to cut it with a knife. And it was about one after another. And it got pretty bad. They finally had to just kind of ask the boys, get out of here, get out of the room, go to the bathroom, do something, get out of here. This is terrible. And it's not until later that evening we started figuring out and connecting the dots. And the kids did as well. And the next day they were all asking if he had more of them, because a lot of these students, this was at a tech school connected with Joplin High School, and so a lot of the students would have to carpool in or on a bus, some of them 30 minutes to an hour, and they were looking forward to getting their hands on more of them so that they could gas out their fellow people on the bus on the way home.
This is the teenage boy, isn't it? Am I stereotyping too much? Is this, man? So you can, you know from personal experience that the sugar-free gummy bear legend has some weight to it.
It most certainly does. I don't know. I've seen the reviews of making bowel movements happen. I don't know so much about that, but I can attest to a wave upon wave of terrible sulfuric gas.
There's a digestive counteraction that I understand in one way, shape, or form. Corey, thank you for coming back and sticking with us during the show. And wow.
You're welcome.
We appreciate you. I said to Katie on the break, I said, how many sugar-free gummy bear packages do you think we're selling to people today who are going to give their best friends?
So many.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I
don't think Ryan Wiggins is listening to us today. I haven't gotten any indication that he is. So, I mean, that would be like the meanest thing. I couldn't
yes,
handle it. Katie thinks it's hilarious.
Do it.
If we were like, here's a bag of gummy bears for Christmas, but you have to eat them before the show starts. And then I said this would be the highest web trafficked live that we would ever have. People watching him slowly get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
See, I would like it if someone else did it. But if you gave me the bag of gummy bears to give to Ryan, I would have a difficult time.
Yeah, because you're a good person deep down inside.
Deep,
you're a little sadist
down.
No, I would feel so bad. And if I'm the type of person who... Yeah, this makes me totally the least cool person on the planet. But I'm the type of person who, if I knew that and someone slipped those to Ryan, I would probably tell him ahead of time.
Have you ever...
I would feel so
Have you
guilty.
Ever participated in a prank like that anything more? Because I know that you were the T-Pain queen, but have you done anything that
there's
was
a lot of
really
flirting involved in that?
Have you done anything that you looked back on prank wise and you're like, oh, I wish I would have never done that?
No, I'm not. I have an enormous amount of empathy for people. Like, I struggle so much when other people are uncomfortable. And as you know, Katie, and I think a lot of people who listen regularly probably have picked up on by now, because we talk about this from time to time, I am actually very introverted, privately, in my private life. I am not the life of the party, Katie. I am not the type of person who is like, let's go out and have fun. I would much infinitely rather go, if I'm going out with somebody, be the people sitting in the back of the bar having a deep conversation about whatever, or a meaningful conversation. I'm small talk. I'm really good at it, but it's work for me. It mm-hmm. requires effort and energy. It doesn't just happen. Me talking to you here 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, this feels like I'm talking to you while you've got your headphones on at your desk, and my goal is to make you go, what? Or something at your desk, or laugh out loud, or giggle at the gummy bear sugar-free fart jokes or something like that at your desk. I want to have this conversation with you. So for me, that's what the thing I love about radio is that I'm having a personal conversation right now with you. You're driving in your car. You're listening to me. I'm talking to you. That's what we're doing here. This is very different than going it to a cocktail party and going from one group to the other. I can do it. It's just, it drains energy out of me. And Gabe Pfeiffer is the one who said this one time. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that's it. That introverts aren't afraid of being around people, but they recharge their batteries when they're by themselves. Mm-hmm. Extroverts recharge their batteries when they're with other people. And for an extrovert, if you're going to spend a lot of time alone by yourself, that sucks the energy out of you. And I relate to that so much because I do enjoy being around people, but it does require work for me. So when I see, going back to the, like, if I've ever pranked anyone like that, I see somebody else being uncomfortable and I become so empathetically uncomfortable in their place mm-hmm. that I have to, like, take the pressure off of them or say something. And if the conversation went weird, I have to really hurry up quickly and try to rectify that or whatever. I can't sit back and laugh at them because I feel like it's people are laughing at me, I think.
And it's just too much.
And
I get that,
Katie's like,
though.
Sugar-free gummy bears
and I'm
for
like,
everybody.
Yeah, let's go. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. What I am willing to do is buy sugar-free gummy bears for Ryan and ask him if he's willing to participate in an experiment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do that on a Friday.
That would be
where we should get him a bag and we say, you need to eat this amount. They're sugar-free, so it's permitted going into the show, and you can in code report over the course, because right now he's recording in his own studio, so it's really not my problem. I mean, literally not going to be
not
my problem
at all.
I don't know. We'll see. Ryan, this is what you get for taking a day off.
Sorry.
A vacation. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Please go subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube page. I put up a video there of my son making his very own droid on Batu in Galaxy's Edge, if you're interested in that. And the Dave Glover Show is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.